All right, the time is 3 minutes in the hour of 6 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop. A very good morning to you all. Our listeners are listening out there all over the world. Thank you so much for always choosing us. And of course, welcome to the another edition of the Early Morning Scoop. This is the 2nd of June 2025, a new month actually, June. And thank you so much. This is a show where we give you the news, or rather updates, or rather inform you again, and on the economics, entrepreneurship, trade policies. That's what we give you until the hour of 7:30. And I'm your host, Lois Ashimi, and of course I'll be with you until that hour, just to give you that, the usual update. And please, before I give you that experience to start off internationally, please do not forget to, connect with us on our social media platform, Eagle FM Namibia, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn, as well as the newspaper page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn, as well as the WhatsApp. Do not forget to subscribe to our WhatsApp channel. You'll find that on WhatsApp, or then the handle is, Eagle FM, Eagle FM Media House. Eagle FM Media House has a handle that you can able to follow, or rather subscribe, so that you can be able to catch up with the daily content and of course the newspaper alerts. And please do not forget to download the app, Eagle FM app, that's available on Google Play Store and App Store, just to stay informed wherever you go, wherever you are. And please do not also forget to download the Imba app. You'll find that on Google Play Store and of course the App Store. Now, to start internationally, is that with 60% of Africans still offline, policymakers and tech leaders are meeting this week for the Africa Internet Governance Forum. Now, the summit focuses on expanding internet access, liberating AI, and strengthening cybersecurity to drive the continent's digital transformation. You might take a listen to this discussion.
Tanzania's bustling commercial capital, over 1,000... The heart of Tanzania's bustling commercial capital, over 1,000 stakeholders from policymakers to grassroots activists are shaping Africa's digital roadmap. This year's Africa Internet Governance Forum comes as the continent faces a critical juncture. Internet penetration lags at 43% compared to Europeans' 92%, while cybercrime costs African economies an estimated $4 billion annually.
Through dialogues, partnership, and shared technical ambitions, we are laying the foundations for more inclusive, secure, and sustainable digital future for our continent.
Youth voices are front and center, with 65% of Africa's population under the age of 30. Women comprise just 30% of tech sector professionals, and rural connectivity gaps threaten to widen inequality. Right now, over 40% of Africans remain offline, but this forum could change that. With debates on affordable access, local content, and infrastructure sharing, the AFIGF isn't just talking connectivity. It's plotting on how to make it a reality for villages, schools, and SMEs still waiting in the dark. Tanzania, hosting for the first time, mirrors this push. Its digital economy strategy aims to boost GDP by $5 billion by 2025. But challenges loom. Disinformation campaigns surge during elections, and only 12 African nations have comprehensive data protection laws.
Let us allow freedoms, but also let us deal with disinformation, misinformation, and malinformation to ensure that its impact and effect on rights is actually curbed, so that we're able to protect the rights.
As the summit draws to a close on Saturday, all eyes are on the anticipated action plan and its potential to mobilize the $100 billion required to achieve connectivity across Africa by 2030. The current atmosphere reflects a continent resolute in shaping its digital future. Daniel.
Right, there you have it. Now to move on in Ungata is that in light of recent funding cuts from the Trump administration, now Ungata is exploring alternative health strategies. Now the health ministry says research into traditional treatment for HIV and other diseases is ongoing, taking advantage of health solutions that were widely used long before modern medicine. You might take a listen to this item.
Long time, herbal medicines were a lifeline for many. For a long time, herbal medicines were a lifeline for many, believed by some to treat a range of diseases. Some people still use the plant-based ingredients for therapeutic reasons. Sanya Rose is HIV positive and takes her antiretrovirus every day, but says herbal remedies improve her health.
It's very hard to find someone who takes herbs like hibiscus and says they feel dizzy. They would be lying. Hibiscus replenishes blood supply in our bodies because we HIV patients need a lot of blood, eat well, and drink a lot of hibiscus.
The Ugandan Minister of Health says research into traditional remedies to help in the treatment of HIV and other diseases is ongoing. Developing countries were severely impacted during the COVID-19 pandemic due to the absence of medicines and vaccine manufacturing plants. Now Uganda is hoping for a breakthrough in formulating and preparing herbal remedies for diseases like HIV, whose treatment programs are facing serious funding gaps.
The push on herbal medicine is not only for it to end at the herbal stage, but for it to progress with research and development into modern medicine.
Research shows HIV patients in rural Uganda use traditional medicines partly because of the challenge of traveling long distances to health facilities, which could pose serious risks to their health if not checked. The government will also train traditional healers to support its testing, counseling, and adherence to medicines. It's this trust in herbal medicines that authorities are now relying on to integrate herbal medicines into HIV care. In countries like China, trials into herbal formulas to treat various conditions have shown positive results. While patients like Sanya Rose believe plant remedies boost immunity, health experts have often stressed that people living with HIV should continue taking their medicines to ensure they get the best health care available.
All right, there you have it in Ungata. Now, villages living near wildlife parks in Zimbabwe often resort to banging pot and pens or rather lighting fires to scare off elephants that stray into their farms. Now, technology is, however, changing this. A tracking tool known as Earth Ranger is helping monitor elephant movement and send early warning when the animals are approaching human settlements. You might take a listen.
Dates on their movements. The data is useful for conservationists trying to preserve a habitat that is under pressure due to the growing animal population.
16 is really a good number because if you feed one collar in a herd of 10, on average, which is basically the average head size of elephants, so we are basically tracking the movement of probably 160 elephants plus. There's also a human-wildlife conflict lens to it where we want to assist communities to detect possibilities of conflict early.
Villages in communal areas adjacent to the park have frequently had their crops damaged and some have been maimed and killed by elephants that have strayed out of the park in search of food and water. The Earth Ranger software tracking tool has a virtual geofence marking the boundary of the national park.
From this dashboard, people here can see when elephants are encroaching into human settlements so they can warn those communities to take necessary precautions.
We try to identify youths who are still very energetic, who are also literate, who can also perform some of the demanding roles of patrolling around the buffer zone areas where the boundaries of the protected areas and where the communal land starts. And we've provided the basic equipment, the basic knowledge for them to understand and appreciate behavior of probably more live species like elephants, like lions.
Mitigating human-wildlife conflicts has become a top priority given the overpopulation of elephants. Wange National Park is home to 45,000 jumbos, three times more than its capacity. Authorities say the collars have aided other conservation efforts.
And it also helps us even to detect things like poaching. If the elephant is no longer moving, it means researchers can easily detect that it has stopped for quite a long period and becomes a concern.
Zimbabwe has recently registered progress in anti-poaching efforts, success it hopes to extend to reducing human-wildlife conflict.
All right, there you have it. The time is 14 minutes in the after 6 o'clock, and this is early morning scoop. Now to move on to the next item is that Egyptian, Algerian, and Tunisia foreign minister met in Cairo on the May 31st to coordinate policy roadmap for Libya. We might take a lesson.
Arab neighbors held talks in Cairo on Saturday and agreed to resume what they call the Trilateral Libya Neighbors Mechanism. It's a platform for them to boost cooperation in order to help defuse the tension in Libya.
In response to threats from the eastern government in Benghazi to suspend oil production, Egypt, Algeria, and Tunisia called all parties to avoid unilateral measures. A joint statement issued by the three countries stressed the importance of prioritizing the interests of the Libyan people, safeguarding the resources and property, as well as achieving consensus among all Libyan factions as the only way to reach a solution in Libya. They vowed to cooperate with the UN in pushing dialogue among Libyan rivals.
The three countries have also rejected any foreign interference in Libya's domestic politics. They insisted that only an inclusive Libyan-led political solution can bring peace and stability to their neighbor.
All right, now to move on to Zambia, is that energy expert says consumer of petroleum product in the country are likely to save at least 1 billion kwacha from the sustained reduction of pump prices in the last 4 months. Now, he says in June alone, customers will save about 350 million kwacha due to reduction on petrol and diesel. Now, he says this is in addition to the 7 million kwacha saved in April and May, bringing the total saving to about 1 billion kwacha.
Nearly 1 billion kwacha following sustained cuts in fuel pump prices over the last few months. Okay. Energy expert Johnston Chikwanda says in the month of June alone, consumers will save approximately 350 million kwacha due to reduced prices of petrol and diesel. Dr. Chikwanda says the recent reduction in fuel prices is expected to translate into major economic relief for Zambians.
This is a significant amount of saving which is going to give relief to the consumers of fuel and even business houses which have been depending on diesel gensets to power their operations because of the ongoing energy crisis.
Yesterday, the Energy Regulation Board reduced the pump price of diesel from 27 kwacha 38 ngwe to 25 kwacha 12 ngwe, petrol from 32 kwacha 14 ngwe to 31 kwacha 36 ngwe, and kerosene from 26 kwacha 88 ngwe to 24 kwacha 79 ngwe. Economics Association of Zambia National Secretary Nicholas Mainza expects the reduction in fuel prices to lead to a decrease in the cost of basic needs.
You know, the cost of bread, the cost of all these basic needs, it's always impacted, always affected by the cost of fuel. Why? Because there could be some production of these basic needs, but then the transportation of these same products from point A to point B requires mobility, and there's always an impact from fuel.
Meanwhile, the Republican Progressive Party has commended government for a series of positive policy developments that has led to the reduction.
Thanks to strategic policies such as the open access model to the Tazama pipeline, which has introduced healthy competition in the oil procurement processes.
The consensus among stakeholders is that the fuel price reduction is a step in the right direction, and that the development will impact the broader economy and the lives of ordinary Zambians in the coming.
right now to move on to the next item in South Africa is that a young female entrepreneur from the Eastern Cape is giving back to her community by impacting her entrepreneurial skills to unemployed youth in the country. You might take a listen to this particular update.
To drop out of school at an early age, she was employed as a domestic worker, but later decided to explore detergents manufacturing company from her home backyard. The main objective is to fight poverty, create jobs for the unemployed young people in the rural areas.
What motivated me is that I needed a job and I needed something to do. So after teenage pregnancy and dropping out of school, I was just all over looking for something to do. I would be employed as a maid where I would see as a cleaning detergents because they were not very available, the Kai. And so when I came back to MTAT, I started selling on the street.
Nyamagazi's dream is to explore retail stores' commission market.
In the next 5 years, my plan is to see my products in the retail market. Like, as I am a passionate manufacturer, I want to manufacture my products in my rural area where I'll be able to employ as much people of the community as possible. But I want to see my products selling in the retailers all over Africa.
She imparted skills to the young people and they are currently part of the detergents manufacturing team.
I never thought I would be able to manufacture a product from scratch, but this far, till today, I'm able to manufacture a product from scratch. I'm able to say that this pine gel was made by me. I did A, B, and C. This is how it came out. So I've learned a lot, and I'm grateful this far. But sometimes there's a certain challenge we're experiencing due to the space. We've got limited space.
I'm so proud because at least my kids do not go to sleep on empty stomach. I am able to pay the kids' school fees. Yes, the payment dates are different because our clients do not pay on the same time. Maybe because we don't have enough space here to produce more products in this space. She had to rent a building owned by Eastern Cape Development Corporation. She alleges that MTAT extortionists demanded huge amount of money to protect her business. She could not afford the protection fee and had to vacate the space.
I got a factory which was very old. I tried to renovate it. Even the rent was also expensive. I got this 2 years that I had health issues when I couldn't even afford the rent. Like I can say now, I'm rising up again. I'm starting up again now. So I kept on doing my funding applications. I got one which I got some which bought equipment for me, and I finally got the equipment that I needed, like state-of-the-art equipment. But the mistake was that it wasn't installed in my own building.
Wako has praised the Eastern Cape for buying her state-of-the-art detergents manufacturing machines. She now owns the piece of land but has no funding to build her own factory.
All right, there you have it. Now to move on to the next item is that the at last court on Friday, Parliament Joint Constitutional Review Committee had around 250 submission seeking to review the constitution. We might take a listen.
Annual review of the Constitution of South Africa is underway. During this process, the public have a hand in making decisions about their constitution.
The Constitution belongs to all South Africans and it must keep up with the times. It's been amended 21 times. It can be amended again. There are often very good reasons for amending it. And so each submission is read properly, thoroughly. It's evaluated. They're sorted into definitely nots, maybes and definitelys. And then we work through those.
The committee considers amendments that will add value to the Constitution. On this point, there have been some rather odd submissions which went straight to the definitely not pile.
in amendments suggesting that there are spacemen among us and we should make space for them in the Constitution. We've had some strange, some very strange suggestions. Odd.
One submission which the committee gets each year is a call for the return of the death penalty. Breitenbach says the amendment process is time-consuming. It includes deliberations and public participation. She says one of the constitutional amendments emanating from this process, which the committee is most proud of, was South African Sign Language being made an official language. This amendment started off in the 5th Parliament and was dealt with and passed in the 6th Parliament. She says even though this change took very long to process, it was a major achievement for the committee. Abra Babia, SABC News.
All right, there you have it. The time is 24 minutes in the office o'clock and this early morning scoop. Now let's move on to the next item. So the Child Safety Week is observed annually from the 29th of May until the 5th of June. Now it is an important initiative aimed at raising awareness about the safety and well-being of children. Now it's often involved in various activities, campaigns and events to highlight issues such as protection from abuse, exploitation and harm. We might take a listen.
These young children say enough is enough and the justice to reports of violent crime. They have marched to the Constitutional Hill to hand over their concerns to the Minister of Justice. These young children say enough is enough and the justice system should hear their cries.
It's a human right for every child to every child deserves a right and every child should stand up for themselves and they should stop raping us.
I'd like to stop postponing the cases because this thing can take years and the children are not getting the justice that they deserve, so it should be shorter and must make it a more serious matter to them and
This day means a lot to me because it refers to children and it is, this day literally refers to children, my peers, young ones, and it is motivating them to be protected, to be safe. It matters to me.
This day refers to me that children must be safe and you must not be shy to talk to an adult, and it's important to be safe and know who you are. Don't have a low self-esteem.
Gauteng MEC of Social Development says the rights of children should be protected.
Today being International Children's Day, it is a day where we raise awareness and encourage and educate the children about their rights here in South Africa. So as Gauteng, we felt instead of celebrating, let's find a way for these young children to raise their challenges. Majority, they are abused. Majority, they live in homes. And you find even the courts, they take forever to place a child into a home. Others, they've been waiting long for attending court cases because they were either sexually molested or any other matter that would have happened to them. So that is why we said, today, let's get the Minister of Justice, instead of her being told by other people what is happening, she must come and hear personally, so himself, what is happening in relation to the justice system when it comes to a children.
The MEC has urged the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development to expedite the prosecution process when cases are brought to court.
Right, there you have it. And lastly, on international segment, is that more nurses need to be hired to urgently capacitate the overburdened healthcare sector in the country. And now a concession by the National Health Department. We might take a listen to this, where is this as 27,000 of 140,000 nurses have to care for a majority of Southern African without medical aid. We might take a listen.
Off after 12-hour shift, you feel so exhausted that you don't even want to wake up the following day. Number three is low morale. You know, when you are working under frustrating circumstances, you end up going to work just because you need some salary. not putting your all in your work.
The South African Nursing Council is the regulatory body for nursing in the country. It has 268,000 nurses in its registry who are catering for 85% of over 60 million South Africans without medical aid who are reliant on public health care. Lack of staffing in the public sector means a nurse often has to go the extra mile.
We had to do even non-nursing duties because even the non-nursing staff were having shortage. So we had to assist where we can because patients was our first priority.
Nursing unions agree with Sister Libesi, saying nurses work long hours under stressful and sometimes dangerous circumstances with very little support from management. Hospesa Gauteng Secretary Ntlantlam Thize says a myriad of issues have led to the ratio of one nurse catering for hundreds of patients at public hospitals.
We do recognize that the shortage of nurses in public hospitals is a long-standing issue that's been worsened. First, by the closure of nursing colleges, the rapid population growth. You can see in many news platforms, you know, the influx of foreign nationals in our country who also rely on the dilapidated health care system that we have in our country. But beyond that, there are other deeper systemic problems that make it difficult.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those
difficult to retain nurses in the public sector.
Increasing population size coupled with diverse healthcare needs surpass the supply of qualifying nurses in the country. The Secretary General of the Democratic Nursing Union of South Africa disagrees with this notion, saying a majority of nurses are saving 14.7% of the population that is enrolled in medical aid schemes in South Africa.
If you divide the nurses that are practicing in South Africa between the public and the private, you'll see that those that are in private, you've got more nurses that are catering for a smaller part of the population. Whereas in the public sector, you've got fewer nurses that are catering for the bigger population. So that is the difference that is there. You are correct to say South Africa might seem to be having a huge number of the nurses that are practicing, but that's the problem. And in the public sector, I think it's worsened only by the issues that when they retire, when they die, you remember during the COVID, and so on and so on. So they are not replaced.
DINORSA has projected a nursing shortage of over 62,000 by year 2030 as nurses resign and retire. The health department says the lifetime registration of nurses to the country's nursing council makes it difficult to keep track of nurses still in the service.
We've got 140,428 nurses in the public health sector. That is the number that we have. And of those, 26,940, somewhere there, are between the ages 50 and 64. So that is what you could call the aging, you know, cohort. But what it then means is that you would be left with about 110,000 below 50, you know, in terms of age. And those that are due to retire this year are 272 are due to retire. And of course, over the period, we've had about 14,200, of the services that were terminated either due to resignation, retirement, debts, you know, and so on. So basically, we would be saying that in the public health sector, we've got, you know, I would say roughly about 100,000 or more. Remember, the register in the nursing council is sitting at about 285,000 somewhere there. However, you'll find that in that register, there are nurses who are already retired. Some are working overseas. Some are in the private sector, but they keep registration.
Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana also conceded to the challenges facing healthcare professionals by reading an open letter written by a UCT medical student on challenges at public hospitals before allocating 289.9 billion rand to the National Department of Health in his 2025 budget.
All right, and there you have it. The time is 34 minutes in the half 6 o'clock, and this early morning scoop. We're going to a very short commercial break. Then, of course, once we return, we'll take you through the local news update. Stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Omudiha with the Kirokaguna e Matina Omjo. Chikao Shafasa Nana Longeshifa ya Shuike Moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongoti samwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seithani na omayakuro ni randitoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashipareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano ondiyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor. This
is all right. Welcome back. And if you're just joining us right now, a very good morning to you. And thank you so much for joining us this early morning scoop. This is a show where we give you the update on economics, trade, and of course, entrepreneurship. Now, to start here is that the manager of the Oshati Kongoro Green Scheme Irrigation Project, Mutero Joseph, has raised concerns over a persistent lack of essential agricultural tools and equipment. Now, saying the shortage is significantly hindering production at the scheme, which is located in the Mukwe constituency of the Kavango East region. Now, Joseph made those remarks on Tuesday during a courtesy visit by the Deputy Minister of Agriculture and Fisheries. Now, according to Joseph, both small-scale farmers and workers at the scheme face daily challenges due to the unavailability of basic tools such as combined harvesters, tractors, irrigation systems, ploughs, and repair equipment. Now, he added that the few tools available are old and worn out and have not been replaced since this scheme was established. Now, as a result, the key farming activities are delayed, yield are lower than expected, and operational costs are higher due to the increased reliance on manual labor. That's what he explained. Now, this situation not only affects the productivity, but also depends the morale of workers and limit the scheme's ability to contribute meaningfully to regional food security and, of course, economic development. Now, Joseph emphasized the urgent need for proper investment and the timely provision of tools to revitalize the operations at the Shati Kongoro. Now, it encompasses a total about of area of 590 hectares. Now, of these, 300 hectares are allocated for commercial farming, and 90 hectares for small-scale farmers, and the remainder is dedicated to maize production. Is dedicated to maize production. That's what he said. Now, he further revealed that this year they are facing serious challenges due to the lack of a combined harvester. Now, the machine we usually borrow from Vongo Vongo Green Scheme is broken, and we have 250 hectares of maize that need to be harvested without equipment. The maize is drying in the field. That's what he said. Now, Joseph also added that the situation is there, as manually harvesting such as large volume is not flexible. Now, we cannot ask the workers to hard pick the maize. It's too much, and it would also take them months to complete. Now, I've reached out on Divundu Correction Service to borrow the combined harvester, and are waiting, or rather we are waiting to respond. That what he said. Now, in response to that, Deputy Minister Ruth Mashake advised the manager to explore other opinions, or rather other options, such as borrowing a combined harvester from Hoogtfontein or renting one for a few days to prevent crop loss. Now, I will also assist in sourcing information on how the farm can easily access the combined harvester, she said. Now, we cannot allow all the hard work done by the farmers to go to waste. Now, Mashake stressed the importance of productivity and accountability within the ministry, and of course cautioned senior management against corruption. Now, she also encouraged small-scale farmers to transition to medium-scale farming, making space for others to benefit from government program and of course gaining new farming skills. Now, small-scale farmers should give back to the communities. Not only should remain a small-scale farmers for 15 years and continue to benefit permanently from government support, that what she said. Now, it's time for others also to get opportunity to grow in the agriculture industry, and the Deputy Minister commanded Joseph and his team for their resilience, calling their efforts at Shati Kongoro brave and commendable. Now, Mashake's visit includes Tao of several other green schemes in the Kavango East region, including Vungu Vungu, Mashare, and Dongari Nene. Now, before she continued her mission to Katima, we might take a lesson to Deputy Ministers of Agriculture, Fisheries, and Rain Reform, Ruth Mashake, on what she has to say on challenges raised by the farmers, farm manager at the Shati Kongoro. We might take a lesson.
When we end the other side, the other people need to benefit from us. We shouldn't expect 100% earning. We cannot close NAMRA. We cannot close electricity. They need to regulate the price here and there. But Shad Congo should continue working and producing maximum. The more we produce more, the more we are not going to feel the pinch of electricity. The more we are not going to feel the pinch of NAMRA. But the moment we don't produce, then we are going to be harmed. And then I'm happy because we have very strong team. When I look at them, I listen to their voices. They sound more energetic. So I don't have an issue to complain on capacity when it comes to the worker. And then this issue of the combined harvester, it's not your issue alone. It's also our issue. We are looking at it. We have heard to you, and I'm happy because you are a part and parcel of the strategic planners for 2025-2026. So in that meeting, I strictly said we need to plan, align our plan accordingly to what we are facing. Not doing away with the SWAPO Party Manifesto. We took the SWAPO Party Manifesto, implemented it into the NDP-6, and then taking NDP-6 into strategic plan for the whole ministry. That does not exclude Shadi Kongoro. No, we are all catered. So what we just need to do is planning. If you plan properly, all these challenges will be finished. Looking at you, active as you are, you're not that old. You have all the potential. I'm so happy because I'm meeting my own brother here, doing the right thing. Agriculture is the key of the Namibian people. Your president, our president, Her Excellency, she's putting agriculture as the first priority. We must be able, by whatever means, able to feed the Namibian nation with whatever we are producing. Maize is a staple food for all Namibian. We cannot rely into buying or importing meat, maize grain from outside when we have good, rich soil. We are blessed. Other countries don't have this beautiful soil that we are enjoying. Our natural resources are rich. So despite of the challenge that we are facing, that I'm here to take and take a look at them, we should maximize our efforts for better or for maximum production. We don't want to hear the issue of saying that the Kavango is, some people are dying of malnutrition when we have the green schemes. And I listen to you very well. You are telling me that you are assisting the community in different ways. Even go on that extent of taking their children to school, giving them water tank, which is a good thing. We commend you for that and continue doing the good thing under difficult situation. The issue of the tractors, I have heard you quite well. Same applies with your sister. I was saying, the ministry is quite vast this time around. We have four pillars. Whatever you are facing as a challenge, communicate. There's a line, ministry communication, the DAPIs. Or you can reach to my office, or you can reach to anyone's office. Our era is not a secret. It's an open door policy. That's how we work. Reaching to us, where we have resources, we are going to attend to you. Where we just need to source out sources here and there, we are going to tell you, no, wait for us here, but continue using the one that you are having. With the combined harvest, it's a challenge, honestly speaking. I'm coming from, where? Ndonga. Vungu, that's where we started. And then in Ndonga Linena. I'm happy with Ndonga Linena because they have started. Despite though, their maize is still standing. And then you have the dried maize which is ready here. And they are using one combined harvester. And Vungu Vungu maize is totally dried. It is still standing. We have.
All right, there you have it. The time is 46 minutes in the office o'clock, and this is early morning scoop. Now, to move on to the next item, is that we engage Patrick Sikisila to speak on the importance of the Namibian education system, prioritizing the education in art and culture, talent development in the performing arts, as well as the role of art in the economic development. We might take a listen to this particular discussion.
Let's continue proceeding with our early morning scoop. So today we are going to look on education, arts and culture. So for many years, the upliftment of talent in education system have been neglected, especially from primary school level. Arts and culture have been one of the sectors of education system in Namibia. However, it's a little to not attention given to those who do not follow the mainstream. So today we're going to look at the musicians, especially they said the musicians plays a vital role in both the economy and society. Especially socially, music influences human behaviors, deepens emotional expression, and foster the community engagement. So today we're going to engage with one of the musicians, Patrick Mashindenge. Good morning, Patrick Mashindenge, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Morning, and good to be here.
I'm good, thanks. My good question is that maybe can you maybe tell us a little bit what really inspired you to pursue a career in music?
It's something that comes with my nature, I think. I wasn't really inspired by anything. It's just something that happened as a, mm-hmm. I was probably born with that talent. Mm-hmm. So I decided to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. So my another question is that since the new administration spoke loud about prioritization of arts and culture, where shall be the starting point on this, if you need to speak?
I think the first thing that we need to look at is incorporating arts into primary and secondary schools because early childhood development, when they start early developing their talent and working on their gifts in their primary and secondary, will help them when they get to now tertiary education, and also just to be responsible citizens who are using their talents to uplift their lives. Because now a person is told to just study to be a car, a police, a nurse, or a teacher, or whatnot, and that's all they know in their life. And then at the end, when they realize they could also do certain things, it's almost always too late for them to really invest into becoming who they are. But if that is nurtured early, who they are, then they could really do much more with their careers or who they are as creatives.
Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe can you tell us what are the major challenges that arts and the creative industries are facing, especially in these years?
One of the biggest challenges is support.
Mm-hmm.
Support from the government, support from the businesses, support from the communities and what. And also the other thing is we need to organize and have unions that speak for the creatives. And when we have those, then I think it would help the creatives to actually do much more than they are doing right now. Because if the government gets involved, the business community gets involved, people could actually do a brand partnership. And the laws are put in place that can protect our creatives, then I think that challenge would be addressed. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, I think it's just the level of excellence that we have in the country. At the moment, we don't really have that because people are always people who are in power or who are organizing or who are giving platforms are only giving to the people that they can also benefit from. So that becomes a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mediocre at best. So it's a challenge when you have people who don't really care about the highest level the highest threshold level of work being done.
Mm-hmm.
As long as a person sings, then they put them, this thing of inclusivity, they want everyone else to be included in all and whatnot. But mm-hmm. they are killing the industries because now the people who are working hard, twice as hard to bring out the best, being overlooked, and they are just putting whoever they feel like it because, I mean, it's an artist is just an artist.
Mm-hmm.
There is no accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that becomes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And platforms also are a bit of a challenge because we don't really have more platforms that would people could showcase their artwork or music or whatnot, the things, the ones that we have are a bit limited.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the population also said it's also one of the biggest challenges that we have, because most of the people that can support a small handful, and things that are going digitally now,
mm-hmm.
our banking system becomes a challenge also, because now you can upload your music and all the other stuff online, but mm-hmm. then the paying system, you can see maybe your amount on a digital platform, but you cannot retrieve that money to your account because of the way our banking system is set up. So that is also a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
There's many challenges that needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Simply for now, we need to get the houses in order.
Mm-hmm. So that means financial hardness, competitions are now the hardest challenges, and you mean this, or maybe the musicians also need to learn businesses and marketing skills.
Yes, also, yeah. Knowing your rights,
mm-hmm.
understanding the business sides of the craft that you do, learning all of this, getting workshops that helps creatives improve their craft, know how to sell their craft, market their craft, having people, in most countries, people would have an artist whose just responsibility is just to make music or to make art or to do what they need to do. And then they have a marketing agent, then they have a sales manager, then they have someone who just looks at the image and brand, all of these people put in place to just help that one artist. But here in Namibia, an artist is all of those things. They are the ones who are looking after their brand. They are the ones who are marketing. They are the ones who are running that whole thing. So that's a big challenge. Now, for us to do it correctly,
mm-hmm.
we need to now learn how other people are doing it, or learn all these different traits so that we are able to now work it. Even if you are the only person, you do know a little bit about marketing, you do know a little bit about branding, you do know a little bit about selling, you do know a little bit about product, all of these things. So when you know that, then you can effectively sell your product or market your product or get your stuff out there. But now, it's a challenge, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I would like to ask this question again. Maybe who are your biggest influences and how they impacted your music, Patrick?
I grew up in my generation was of is that time of Jackson Kayewa, then they were the biggest artists in the country. Jackson Kayewa, Rashi Hama, mm-hmm. William Wende, all of those, and I was basically influenced by, if not those Namibians, then on the continent would be Ringo Mandrigozi, from Botswana, and a bit of Sungura, and then in Angola, the Kuduro, because we used to dance on that, and then maybe in the West End, then I would look at Tupac,
mm-hmm.
and then the Usher then, and then the R. Kelly then.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm diverse in that manner. Can you?
Mm-hmm. Okay, my last question is that looking at countries like Nigeria and South Africa, they seem to be making more money and develop in the national actors and performers, artists and playwrights. So how can Namibia come to the stage like for Namibia to elevate?
Elevation for Namibia has to take a lot more than just the government stepping in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if there is money that is allocated to the industry or to any creatives, first of all, we need to make sure that we have laws in place to make sure that local content is a priority within the country, number one, because I've seen in South Africa, if you have to play music is 80%. that should be flayed local. And then you have that 20% or is it 10% Nokoi? I don't know how much it is now, that is from international. They have cut out at certain shows that you can only have 10% outside and then 80%. There are laws put in place. There are unions for artists. There are unions for musicians. There are unions for the creative industry that guides and helps. So when the government puts in money, it's actually putting in an industry that is well established, and our industry is not that established, and we do not have all of these things in place. We are busy running around, and most people will probably be blaming NASCOM, but NASCOM has a mandate, and they are carrying out their mandate in that sense, where they are just copywriters and they are collecting money for royalties. That is their mandate. They are not here to create laws and do all of the other things that people seek or dress the artist or make the artist look nice and whatnot. No, that is not the mandate of NASCOM. So we need a union that is probably for the let's say musician, and then that union liaises now with the lawmakers so that they can make laws that can help. Talk to Karen maybe. Tell Karen, 90% of local content that you're talking about, how much is music in there? And if music is, because right now when they say 50% of local content is playing on radio, I'm not saying that's the number. I'm just giving it as an example. If they say 50%, it means news that is coming from Namibia is also local content. It means all the reporting or any other stuff, it's all local content.
Yeah.
So a radio can basically just get all the local things, reporting and events and whatnot, and they just play maybe 0.5% of Namibian music, and then the rest is from outside. So they need to have things in order for us to be protected, for us to really start making money off the industry.
Hello Namibia. The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag Your Data Matters.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM.
I'm just giving it as an example. If they say 50%, it means news that is coming from Namibia is also local content. It means all the reporting or any other stuff, it's all local content.
Yeah.
So a radio can basically just get all the local things, reporting and events and whatnot, and they just play maybe 0.5% of Namibian music, and then the rest is from outside. So they need to have things in order for us to be protected, for us to really start making money off the industry. We need our malls to be hanging up or having murals that are painted by artists. We need our DJs and clubs playing the music, because that's one of the biggest challenges also we have, where our show promoters, our DJs, and they're not playing local music. They're not playing because it's not in the law. It's not really something that they are worried about. I mean, in other countries, that is something that you should be worried about, because at the end of the day, you are giving money to
other countries,
the outsiders. You're not giving money to your artists. Radio stations, when you pay for royalties, you're giving money out more than you are giving to the artists. So I feel like if for us to elevate, we need to get our house in order. We need to really get this laws and the past that protects and that makes sure that local content is prioritized, in a sense that music, there is a number that, no, if you're playing music on a radio station, you must be playing 60% of local music. And then if you are using art, or you are using photographs, or if you are using videos, or if you are using models, or you are using clothes, you must at least use these percentages, from the local community. And if you have to make an ad, it should have these criteria of local content. Then the industry can actually start becoming, and we can actually become, make money. Because if I give you an example, let's say company B wants to make an ad. And they are told that for this ad to work, you need to have Namibians for number one, from different tribes, models you have to take from Namibia, and you have to put in a place that is familiar to Namibia, things that we can relate to. Then you have to use Namibian music, and then you have to use the clothes. You have to get a designer from Namibia, makeup artist from Namibia. I mean, this company, at the end of that advert, has fed a lot of creatives in the process. The makeup artist, the artist, the designer, the set designer, the models, all of these people have made money, and they also have fed their families. So we need to really get the house in order. I think that would help us really get to where we need, because our population is already small.
Yeah.
But then if we get now the support from the business sector and from the government, and also with the laws and everything put in place, then we can really do some real change.
Okay, we really appreciate your time for being with us on Early Morning Scoop, Patrick. And I would love to say, have a blessed day ahead.
Really appreciate being here, and have a good day, you too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Right, you had it there. Maybe the takeaways that we can take there is that he said there should be awareness created early in life, because many talented people only discover their talent at a later stage, which is often too late. So he also said that it is also to also be better for them also to get that, or to be given a platform while early. So he also noted that the people who receive the platform are often only those from whom others can also benefit. However, there are also those who are working hard but are not receiving help. And just lastly there, he said, like, for in order for the industry to elevate, they need laws to be implemented for them to make or to start making money. Now, to move on to the next item is that my colleague David Ashombe spoke with Joseph Amukwa, a legal researcher, who will be now speaking about the international trade law and the selling of rhino horns and elephant tusks in international black market. We might take a listen to their conversation.
Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at economic development. We are also looking at various ways on how we can keep our environment, safe, particularly the wildlife. It was indicated that the Ministry of Environment has unfortunately recorded 28 rhinos poached in 2024, where 19 of them were poached in Etosha National Park, and also others in different areas or different farms. So for us to unpack this, I got into the conversation with Jafet. Jafet is a RIGA researcher, and just to unpack particularly the importance of rhino horns in the international market and how these things are going to work around. Mr. Joseph Jafet Amukwa, good morning and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Yes, let us look at rhinos, particularly when we hear about rhino horns, we hear about rhinos being poached, elephants being poached. What is the importance of these horns in the international market, and why a lot of people interested in rhinos? What is the importance of that business in the international market?
The importance of rhino horns in the international market, nations, they are regarded as traditional medicine, especially in China's and Asia's there.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is said is treatment of illness such as the reducing fevers and nose bleedings in those countries.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how now it's, more people are now trading those black markets to those countries.
Mm-hmm.
And people are interested in making money through black markets to those countries.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, are these rhino horns only sold in international market, or the government also have a way of selling the horns, or these things are only sold illegal?
The traditional trade in rhino horns, you know, is regulated by the Convention of International Trade of Endangered Species.
Uh-huh.
And these have been banned since, I think it was 1977, it was banned.
Oh, okay.
So now, it's only now being traded through black market. So there's no really remedies for legal trade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, now let us look at the items which have been confiscated. As you have said that, you know, rhino horns are very important. They are sold for medicinal purposes and also used in different countries like China. Now, people are asking, especially the citizen, what really happened to those items which are confiscated? Are these things just going to be banned? Or they were supposed to be sold so that they can contribute to the economy of the country?
Yeah, you know, this, especially in Namibia.
Yeah.
I remember it was 2015.
Yeah.
When our former Minister of Environment and Tourism announced that the confiscated of those items from the poachers, they are no longer going to be banned.
Yeah.
Since Namibia don't have a policy of banning those confiscated items.
Yeah.
So, actually, our Article 95 of our constitution has stipulated how Namibia should benefit from their natural resources.
Yeah.
As long as they do sustainable, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, Namibia,
yeah,
and other Southern African countries were allowed by sites by the Convention of to train,
yeah,
the once off, to say just the once off.
Mm-hmm.
So now Namibia now, as I said, they don't have a policy of banning or destroying confiscated horns. So, but they rather consider them as valuable assets,
yeah,
to be sold, ne?
Yeah,
to be sold for the economic gain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now the government believe that selling these horns generate revenues to be used to, especially to fund conservation.
Yeah,
and revenge properties.
Mm-hmm. So,
and this will boost it for the country's economy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and this, now, the what, the Namibian, government, have now, to say, have poses a security risk in it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just to include the potential from theft and evidence for the past incident, you know,
mm-hmm,
this task force now that can keep these confiscated items safe,
mm-hmm, because
yeah, they now have to be stored in safe places, especially in government store, strong storerooms. Yeah.
So there was a proposal on the table to say these things must be sold, ne?
Yeah, there was a proposal for the interested country to buy these confiscated items. So to say Namibians, they are now not banning or destroy these items.
Yes, thank you. Let's look at maybe the last question. The last question is regarding what do you think need to be done in order to make sure that we keep protecting our natural resources, especially the endangered species, which continue to be killed regardless of tightness of the security in Namibia.
So what I think our government already set up those task force to keep our spaces safe.
Yeah.
Because I know our conservancy, they are well protected.
Yeah.
So, and I think they only meant to make campaigns and go in the communities, explain to them the importance of our wildlife resources. So then I think people will understand, and also just to impose those harsh punishment to the offenders, so then they can be an example to the others that no, we if you do this, it will endanger your life or your
like you'll be jailed or something.
Your movement, you know, once you are in court with poaching, you can spend a lot of time in custody and all that. So,
and damaging of image also.
The people need to understand.
Yeah.
We have to, they have to make more campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, Jafet Amukwa, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Thank you for your input.
Thank you, sir.
All right, there you had it. The time is 15 minutes in the half 7 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop. Now, there he just spoke about the cultural and, of course, medicine use of rhino horns in the black market. So he also as well emphasized on how Namibians can also benefit from natural resources as prescribed by the Constitution. Now, to move on to that, Dr. Sione Ikela from the Faculty of Environmental Management and, of course, Sustainability Science at IUM will also be talking about poaching and the use of rhinos and other wild animals products in the black market. Let's take listen.
Good morning, Eagle FM listeners. I am Patemoshila Lukolo. Thank you for choosing Eagle FM, your trusted source of in-depth and thoughtful discussions. The Ministry of Environment has unfortunately recorded 28 rhinos poached in Namibia to date in 2024. It's concerning to note that 19 were poached in Etosha National Park, of which 10 were discovered during the dehorring operations. Rhinos and elephants become one of the endangered species in Namibia and Africa. However, there is still a marked of the horns and tusks which continue to increase in the black market.
Good morning, Namibia. Thank you, NGLFM, for having me.
Dr. Sion Ikela is a faculty of the Environment Management and Stability Science. Dr. Ikela, what is the importance of rhino horns in the international market?
Thank you very much. First is to maybe contextualize this issue around poaching, and maybe to register my disappointment that up to now people are continuing to to poach and kill our rare species in this country. Rhinos are some of the rare and unique wildlife that we have in Namibia that is actually among the big five. Mm-hmm. And some undesirable elements are continuing to kill our treasure. It's very disappointing that these people are continuing to do this. Well, on the question you asked me, first is to highlight that the rhino horns are actually perceived to have some medical or medicinal properties. And they are perceived to cure in some community, perceived to cure cancer. Mm-hmm. And even though there is not really scientific evidence around this, mm-hmm. while it also has got some historical accounts around curing diseases like ailments, fever, arthritis, gout, headaches, and even things of aphrodisiacs. So, and then some people also link it to the issue of sexual strength that our people are having on the issue of rhino horns. So that is the reason why the people are hunting for these rhino horns. And some people are also using the horns just to have them in their houses as a rare property that they own.
Mm-hmm. Are these rhinos part only sold in the international black market, or are there, or is there a legal way of doing it?
Rhino is among the species that are listed by CITES. Mm-hmm. That's why it becomes illegal to trade with their horns, and. That's why most of the trading actually happens in the black market. Otherwise, you are not allowed to trade with the rhino horns.
So that is the only place we can do trading of these rhino horns.
Yes. So it because of that listing. Mm-hmm. Countries that prescribe to this CITES, they do not allow trading of anything from rhinos. Uh-huh. So that's why people resorted into black market.
What happened to the confiscated items by law enforced? Are they having any significant value that they can add to the Namibian economy, or will it be banned?
Actually, what people can do, and that's what I want to suggest, is that people can create local markets that is recognized by our government. What they can do, and that I want to suggest as a solution to this rhino poaching, is that. We must run dehorning, a national program of dehorning rhinos. Then among our nation, among our country, people in the country, the horns that are cut off from the rhinos can now be traded locally by creating a market locally. Because what is happening is when the rhinos are left with horns, then these
undesirable elements go and kill them so that they get the horns. But when you cut them off, because it will regrow, when you cut them off, then they will have no reason to kill them, because the only thing that these poachers are targeting on the rhino is the horn. Therefore, it's very important that we run a national dehorning program, mm-hmm. so that we protect our rhinos. And what do we do with the horns that we are cutting off? We create a market locally, or with the countries that are willing to buy our product. Sorry, but what we do is to make sure that we protect our rhinos.
Okay, thank you very much. That was Dr. Sion Ileka, the Dean of the Faculty of the Environment Management and Sustainability Science. Thank you very much, Dr. Sion.
Thank you very much for having me. I just want to, as a closing remark, to really encourage our government to make sure that enough awareness is created in protecting our rhinos.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, to move on to the next item, on Friday, last week, learners at the Mandume Demfawa Primary School in the Ohangwena region again harvested some produce in their garden. Now on this, we will be speaking to Moses Teofelos, the agriculture teacher at the Mandume Demfawa Primary School, just to give us this particular update. A very good morning to you, Mr. Teofelos, and welcome to the Early Morning Scoop.
Very good morning, and good morning to listeners.
Oh, we are doing great. Yeah, Mr. Teofelos, could you please maybe tell us about your harvesting process with your learners, and of course, what crops you are harvesting, or you harvested actually?
Yeah, we have just harvested part of our maize,
mm-hmm.
That we felt is ready now to be harvested. It was really nice, and the kids enjoyed it. And after harvesting, we sold it out. We only took a small part of the space where there was maize, but there is still two big plots that were not ready, and we are looking forward probably in 2 weeks' time or in 1 week's time to. At least to harvest. That's not only maize. We have got also carrot that we felt now is ready.
Okay.
And probably we'll see by next week.
Mm.
If we can harvest it. No, we did not really encounter a problem when it's coming to the sellout of the product, mm-hmm. because We normally don't produce more we look at the demand and probably if we could have a big plot, that could be the problem. But now the plot that we have,
mm-hmm.
We felt it's quite sufficient to the demand of our clients. That's mm-hmm. why we don't have any problem. It's always after harvesting, you will only take probably 1 hour and everything is finished. It was successful, even though we might need more again. And I feel in the second harvest, mm-hmm. that will be the very big one.
Mm, all right.
Mm.
Yeah. Maybe also take us through the journey or the process of planting this maize. Do you ever maybe encounter any challenges during the growing period?
No. We said previously that we did not yet really experience a lot of probably difficulties, except the rainfall that was too much and sometimes. With the strong wind, but nevertheless, the whole process was good, and we did not encounter like the pest that normally destroys maize.
Mm-hmm.
It was not there this time around.
Oh, all right. Yeah, speak to us again, Mr. Moses, the importance of having a garden. I mean, there are a lot of people out there, or there are schools also that are not really or struggling to have a garden at school or maintaining the garden, actually. So speak to us about it, how important it is, how beneficial it is also to you guys at school and, of course, to the kids.
Yeah. The reason why we have decided to establish this garden and keep it live throughout the year, it's to teach the kid beyond the syllabus, and at the same time, we want at least to equip our learners with knowledge and to capacitate them on how to at least take care of their own vegetables and different types of plants at their own home backyard. We are not only doing it because we are doing it at school, but we are also sometimes making follow-ups at their houses. Are they taking care of the plants? We are always in connection with the parents and always make follow-ups on the plant that we normally grow at school and give them to go and plant at their houses. It's quite important that we should not only enrich the kids at school, but we should also look at how they are doing it at their houses. And that will help Namibia. Because if we are, honestly speaking, if every house could have a backyard garden, then to be honest, in 10 years to come, you will find that Namibia will be self-sufficient when it comes to food production. Probably what we want to encourage schools is only that it might look very difficult at the beginning, but as time goes on and kids start enjoying producing and also community enjoying buying from the school, you will feel that things will become easier and honestly speaking, the way that we have is let school create or have the gardens, and let's teach not only in the things that are in the syllabus, but let's also teach kids beyond the syllabus so that they can be able to at least acquire that knowledge and use it at their own houses.
Thank you so much, Mr. Theophilus, for having you.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
All right. There you have it. The time is 30 minutes in the off 7 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop. Thank you so much for joining us today, and stay with us on Early Morning Scoop. Thank you so much. So I'll be handing over to my colleague, Tate Meko Shaveri, to take us through the unpacking of the day today. Thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your day.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikawa shafa sana nana nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo. Ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anageshefa ya Namibia. Ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randitoma yoe. Yongeshefa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwa shipareki uimepo yomo programa zetu. Moambo lengira selma. Kona raheta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano. Oambiaji. Eagle FM. The Eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a panda to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsie Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing for Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for...